This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And this is again a common problem. Our brother says, I'm assuming this is a young brother, that he is saying, I cannot find a job and I'm not able to pay for my livelihood. I'm forced by circumstance to work at a restaurant that serves haram. What is the verdict on this?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Okay, so the brother was unclear. He says serves haram. So I'm going to give a generic response based upon this. First and foremost, realize our Prophet ﷺ said, hadith in Sahih Bukhari, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا حَرَّمَ شَيْئًا حَرَّمَ ثَمَنَهُ. Whenever Allah makes something haram, He makes its price haram as well. This hadith is in Abu Dawud. Memorize this as a principle of Islam. If it is haram for you to use, it is haram for you to do what? To sell. Okay, if it's haram to use, it's haram to sell. If it's haram for you to eat or drink, it is haram to make financial benefit off of this. And the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Jabir ibn Abdullah said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْتَةِ وَالْخَنْزِيرِ وَالْأَصْنَامِ. Four things are mentioned. Allah has made it haram to buy and sell alcohol and buy and sell dead animals. Dead animals means an animal you find on the side of the road, right? The Arabs of Jahiliyyah, they didn't do dhabah. The Arabs of Jahiliyyah, if an animal died naturally, they would eat it, right? And this is maita. It is disgusting. Allah says it is fisq, it is ijz, leave it. They would eat and they would sell the animal, maita. Number three, al-khinzir. We all know khinzir. And number four, asnam, idols. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to Muslims. No Muslim eats a khinzir. What is the hadith saying? Allah has forbidden what? Bay'ah, the buying and selling of khinzir, of idols. I was really hurt when I went to Jerusalem to see our Muslim brothers selling icons of other faiths, icons of other faith traditions, amulets, salibs, like this. They're selling this. This is not allowed in our religion. It's not allowed to make money by selling mini idols, let's say, right? If a person is living in a land where there's idols and a Muslim says, oh, I'm not going to worship the idol, I'm just going to carve it and sell it. No, you cannot, and this is the worst selling out of all of this, to sell an idol. Now, this is the hadith. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, can we sell the fat of the dead animal? At least let us sell the fat of the dead animal, because this fat, we use it to, basically the ships, we put it on there to protect it from the water, right? So what's the word in English? I forgot, but the paraffin or something, you put it on. Okay, so, Sealant, it's a type of sealant. Okay, so this fat, Ya Rasulullah, can we sell this fat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ. May Allah Azza wa Jal curse this group of people. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَّا حَرَّمَ شُحُومَهُمَا لَمَّا حَرَّمَ شُحُومَهَا جَمَّلُوهُ ثُمَّ بَاعُوهُ فَأَكَلُوا ثَمَنُهُ. When Allah forbade them to utilize dead animals, they converted these animals into a type of salty solution. They decomposed it partially. They did whatever they wanted to. Then they sold that najis, and then they benefited from that profit. Because of that, Allah's curse is on them. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So this is an explicit hadith that even if you do not benefit from the haram, you cannot sell the haram. And we have the hadith in Sahih Muslim as well. All of these are evidences that you should know and be aware of, that when Allah revealed that khamr is haram, so the Prophet ﷺ sent the commandment, everybody pour your khamr into the streets. As you know, the famous incident. An Ansari came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I am in charge of two orphans. And their father left a treasure of wine. Their father left many gallons, many caskets of wine. And they are my, whatever, nephews or whatever you want to call them. These are my distant relatives. But they're orphans. This is their money. This is their rizq. I mean, this is a fortune for them, and they're orphans. Can I sell? Now, who would he sell this to? Muslims? Huh? No. Medina is a multicultural society. Can I sell these caskets and then give them the money? Now, before I answer, and you all know the answer, by the way, why this hadith is so important, can anybody tell me? Orphans. The money of orphans is the highest category of sanctity. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Anybody who devours the property of orphans, ظُلْم, Allah is saying, you are eating the fire of hell into your belly. أعوذ بالله. The highest level of sanctity in the Sharia when it comes to money is the money of orphans. You are not allowed to touch it unless you have to, because you're dying or starving. You have to get a little bit to feed the kids. Otherwise, it must be remain untouched until the orphans come of age. You all know this, right? If there were to be any exception, it would be for the orphans. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, spill all of it out. And he did not allow an exception for the... And subhanAllah, also, this money was halal one day ago, before the prohibition. So if there would have been an exception, somebody could have said, okay, you know what, the Sharia just came down, the father died in Jahiliyyah, the young kids are now Muslim, you know, they're orphan. If there could have been an exception, it would have been for them. But what did our Prophet say? No, get rid of it. Whenever Allah has forbidden something, He has forbidden its buying and selling. So based upon all of this, we say the default is that it is haram to buy and sell that which is haram for you to consume. Now, that having been said, as we said many times, there are levels of haram. Selling an idol is definitely the worst thing you can possibly sell. There's nothing worse than selling an idol. Selling sharab is something Allah has cursed. It is something that Allah's la'na is upon. Selling khinzir is something that our Prophet explicitly forbade. Allah has forbidden the selling of khinzir, but they're not at the same level. Idolatry is much higher. Khinzir is definitely bad, and sharab is middle. It's like a la'na. For example, selling non-zabiha meat, for example, this would not come under this hadith, because non-zabiha meat that has been slaughtered, we said this is a controversy between the Shafi'is and the Hanafis. So if somebody's working in a restaurant that has non-zabiha meat, in this case, inshallah, that tahrim does not apply, because when, even if you don't eat, as I said, I personally would not eat that meat. But in this case, the Shafi'i madhab has allowed and considers it to be halal. So once the Sharia has come with this, we say, now, that having been said, AMJA, the American Muslim Jurist Association, has released a very detailed fatwa about this issue. And they've basically taken into account that sometimes a person does not have an alternative, and it might be a type of darura. So AMJA has given a fatwa, and I'm reading the fatwa directly from them, that it is not permissible for a Muslim not to work at any grocery store or restaurant where prohibited items are sold if this work would entail direct involvement with serving alcohol or pork products. So this is the generic. Then they said, however, cases of exigent need, means darura, dire need, should be taken into account. Each one is judged in accordance with its personal extent. Now, somebody comes and says, I don't have any job, I cannot pay rent, I'm going to sleep on the streets. And the only job I'm getting is at a subway, let's say. And I'm working 40 hours a week at the subway, and sometimes I have to use the pork over there. Okay, so we say this is a darura. And the fatwa says, if that type of darur is there, then in your heart you don't like what you are doing and you actively seek alternative employment. You don't just become comfortable. You actively seek alternative, but for that duration, if you're going to get kicked on the streets, this is a type of darura. So we say, the one who wants to earn supplemental income, the teenager who's living at home and he's looking for a secondary job just to get some, what are the games, Wii, or is that Wii outdated? I don't know, PS4, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, right? What is it? PS4 is outdated too, huh? What is the latest game? Huh? Xbox 3 or 10, I don't know what it is, right? So whatever. So the teenager, you want to put some you know, stability on him, say, go get a job. Excellent, he should get a job. But he doesn't need the money to pay rent. So this person, you cannot allow him to get a job where he has to fry pork products. He has to do, this is a supplemental income. The standard is going to be higher. You understand? Now a person has come, you know, from a foreign land, and you know, at that stage, they're sending resumes everywhere, their resources are dwindling. And at that stage, generally speaking, most of the work is going to be a type of manual labor that might have a little bit of haram. We say choose the least amount of haram. So for example, a restaurant that serves lots of non-zabiha meat and a little bit of pork is infinitely better than a restaurant that serves sharab. Right? So you will choose the one that has, because selling pork is haram, selling alcohol is la'na. There's a much worse level than this, right? So we say, as the maxim of fiqh goes, الضرورة تقدر بقدرها, that every exceptional situation we look at in terms of its exceptional situation. How difficult it is, the more laxity. There's a principle in Sharia. The more difficult the situation, the easier the Sharia is. The more difficult the situation, the easier the Sharia becomes. And the more easier the person is, the more stricter the Sharia will come. And therefore, to conclude this point, that we say the person who is forced by circumstance to work haram, and there's no alternative, should find the least haram level, because there are levels of haram. And if he is forced, his heart must hate it, must actively search for employment. The final point. The one whose income is derived from this and it is a necessity is forgiven. But the one whose income is derived and it is not a necessity, and this is a common question. My friend owns a store that sells alcohol. Can I go eat at his house? My cousin, my brother-in-law owns a haram store and he's invited me for dinner. Or in the masjid, the board committee, somebody might be very rich, but they own maybe sharab stores. And he writes a check of $50,000 to the masjid. Actually, it would happen in the previous cities I was at. That, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, some of our own brethren, a'udhu billah, they run liquor stores. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. But across this country, there is the stereotype, which is partially true, of some of our Muslim brethren making an easy buck in particular neighborhoods of the city by opening liquor stores. And they get rich because people are going to buy liquor, right? And they want to give to the masjid, and they give big checks to the masjid. And same goes, can we go to their house or whatnot? And the response to this is as follows. That money technically is haram. And the more was the haram involved, the more haram the money is. Right? If the guy owns a liquor store, this is much more haram than if he owns a generic restaurant that has liquor on the menu, right? Which is more haram than if he owns a gas station, which has lots of halal things, then the majority of the income is from the gas and whatnot, and he has one beer that's being sold as well. So there's levels. Now, technically speaking, transferring of ownership transfers the hukum. Meaning, if you own a store, somebody walks in, do you have to quiz the person when he buys? Where'd you get that money from? Where'd you get that money from? When the ownership is transferred, the hukum is transferred. So from a purely fiqhi perspective, technically speaking, it is halal for anyone to engage with the money after the person has taken it. But there's something else. It is called adab. It is called taqwa. Should you engage in this with this person's money? And this is a case-by-case basis. If it's your brother-in-law, your cousin, he owns a liquor store, you should send the message, I don't want to eat at your house. Even if technically it might be halal, but you need to send the message, I'm not happy at what you're doing. You own a liquor store, how can I go and eat at your house? There's adab and there's fatwa, fiqh. Fiqh is one thing. Technically speaking, it's haram is between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. When he comes to you, he wants to purchase your car, he writes you a check. It's not your business where he got the money from. That check is halal for you to take, right? And the same goes if he gifts you something. Technically it is halal. But should you? That's now a case by case basis. And if you choose to do that, you will not be sinful. And if you choose to send the message, I'm not happy, you will be rewarded. It's an a matter of taqwa, that you are being extra strict and pious, and there is no question that this is a level of ihsan and taqwa, that you should avoid money that is haram, even if it's not haram for you. You get my point here, that you know this money is haram. Now, as for the masajid, the fatawa has come from many, many ulama and bodies, that when somebody like this gives donations, we should not use that money for the musalla area. But we may use it for the parking lot. We may use it for reconstruction in the toilets, okay? But the musalla area itself, it has a level of sanctity that we don't want to even corrupt, even if technically the money is halal, but we should try our best to not use that money for something that is so sacred. And actually our scholars of fiqh mention this. If somebody gives haram money for the publication of mushafs, should not be done. Even though technically it might be halal, but you want to protect the mushaf. You don't want, for the construction of the actual masjid, we say no, do something else. Not the actual musalla where the salah takes place. And this is again not fatwa of fiqh as much as it is adab of taqwa and of respecting the signs of Allah. And with this, inshallah, we come to the conclusion of today.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.